Welcome to episode 256 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. And Marty, you've got an interesting one for us today. I don't even know where to start and where to finish, so I'm not even going to try and make a joke, mate. What is happening?
Well, mate, you might remember a few episodes ago, going back a little while, that I bought and cracked open a can of liquid death, you know, in regards to how to make water interesting, water exciting. So today, you'll have to go to YouTube, but today I bought a roll of toilet paper with me. Now, unlike the liquid death, obviously not demonstrating this one, for obvious reasons, but it's just an interesting company in regards to who gives a crap. And I just noticed this toilet paper around our house all of a sudden. And I'm not, you know, my wife's much more conscientious with this sort of stuff than I am. And I'm going, why have we got this in the house? Like, I'm seeing this, it's all fancy colours and everything. And then she goes, oh, it's going towards a really good cause. It's they basically, you know, help sanitise, you know, countries overseas with toiletries. And I'm going, oh, okay, that sounds good. But how does it work? And I had a look into the company, and it's been around. Well, I know how it works, but yeah, you can give me some advice in regards to this. But I've got
questions, but they're not appropriate for this format. Yeah.
And you back know, to front, so, front to back.
Yeah, that was it. You got me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's you know, use your imagination.
Standing up, sitting down.
Yeah.
There's a world out there.
There was a business angle, not just the wiping angle, Jace. So it's the interesting thing for me was when I looked up the business, and they've been around since 2012, but their charity work, their mission work is directly related to their profitability. And I really kind of like that. So even though they had a mission to, you know, give good sanitary toiletry, you know, all around the world, it was linked to a commercial expectation. So you see a lot of the times, you know, businesses are very mission driven, and you know, sometimes they lose money and they get a lot of charity money and stuff like that. But I kind of like the idea because obviously the people are buying it are invested in the mission beyond just the use of a boring product, right? And then obviously staff are getting on board. They're feeling like there's a bigger purpose than just, you know, making money into the business. And they're giving away obviously 50% of their profits. So the growth is linked to the mission. And I just got to thinking, How do we need to be thinking about this moving forward? And I'm not saying give away 50% of your profits, but like they're doing, but we all sort of give some money to charities on various different things. But how often is it actually the business is led from that perspective? Like, this is what we do and this is why we do it. And then our people that use the product become our advocates and get us out to the market. So we might not have to give away 50%, of course, but maybe it's 10%, but it's a purpose-led mission. So I just found it interesting, and it sort of reminded me a little bit of liquid death too, because it was, you couldn't get more boring a thing, and yet here we go. Thoughts?
I love the theory. Just thinking about our own business and, you know, what we're in, you know, I think you get involved in charities or you get involved in, you know, things you think are ethical because, not because you feel like you should, but you almost want to give back. But I guess what you're talking about is that driving your underlying strategy and also your marketing at the same time. So I don't mind it. And I'm just thinking, could you do it with any business? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of humanizing business, but the starting point is the mission itself, which is interesting take.
Yeah, I'm just finding, I think I just went to a presentation recently with Simon Griffiths. So I'm just trying to find, I attended a night with Simon Griffiths recently. So Who Gives a Crap are a certified B Corp. So B corporations go under an assessment to be given a B Corp certification. And the Commons, which is our offices at Future Advisory Use Forum, which is part of the Commons. So Simon came along and did a fireside chat and answered a bunch of questions. And it was really interesting. A lot of people, they're amongst the early the early people who were that charitable, you know, if you buy from us, this happens. A bit like Thank You Water back in the day. You think about where Thank You Water took off, and it was, you could track every bottle or everything that you bought from Thank You Water, then showed you where it was impacting in the world. So it did tie that powerful why. Like, you know, if you're going to buy toilet paper, you might as well have an impact where you're having a benefit somewhere around the world. You know, if Sorbent or Kleenex or whatever the brands are, why make them more profitable and not really see a benefit out of it if you can buy Thank You? Who gives a crap? Now I'm getting all the brands confused. Yeah. But, you know, and it's funny, you know, those toilet paper rolls are across all of our offices, all of the Commons and Forum. You know, I traveled to Sydney recently and, you know, went to the bathroom at the Commons and there it is. So I think through those partnerships as well, the branding's really great and obvious. And that connection back to a real meaningful thing makes a lot of sense. And it does make you think in your business day to day, is there a way you could tie in something that is meaningful or purposeful that has a bigger impact beyond just, you know, and obviously business exists to make money and that's not a bad thing. But, you know, is there a way you could tie it into driving and gamifying or making it more exciting and more purposeful?
And business, it's there to make money. And what I've seen in the past, like I always remember there was a US company and I forget what they were called, but every time they sold a pair of sandals, you know, someone in a third world country would get a pair of sandals as a, you know, as a gift, but that come out of the gross revenues. What I like was the business thinking around the profit being the hero of the story and doing more good, the more profit that was made in the business. And even in regards to, and this was not this financial year, they haven't updated their figures, but I think they had a 70 mil turnover and they donated a record 5.85 mil towards their mission. So I thought, I actually like the fact the better we do profitability-wise, just the discipline of it, the more good we do around the world. And everyone is on, including the clients, everyone's on that mission. And that makes profitability okay all of a sudden, and as it should be really in business. So there's going to be a counter argument because I sort of thought to myself, well, like the Royal Children's Hospital do so much good and they need donations and they're cause is they're doing so much good. So it probably wouldn't relate to something like that. But I think, you know, medium enterprise type businesses could lead in with something like that. And I always remember for me when I was 17, I might've spoken about this before, I did a What Works business course and it was council led. So obviously council gets all the ratepayers' money, and what they were doing were investing back into the youth, into the area to be entrepreneurs. And I got more out of that 12 weeks of learning about business than I did in the last 3 years of school. And because you got a plan of attack, you could state your vision for your business. And for me, I ran stand-up comedy nights in the Yarra Valley, but the purpose was connecting community through fun, laughter, and good humor. And that was actually the purpose drive. And we were filling, you know, pubs with 100 people in those pubs and learning so much in marketing, going on radio, going to local businesses, filling those rooms, even in regards to, you know, getting a clip of the bar tab as well, which probably shouldn't have been doing as a 17-year-old, but hey, you got to cut your jib in life, right? But it was a fantastic initiative from council. It was purpose driven to really fuel young people to make an impact in the local area. And I just was thinking about, like, I thought future advisory, like futurepreneurs. You know, what are we doing to stimulate our youth coming through? How do we do this to better effect? Not so much just pure charity, but how could we do it maybe in a progressive sense in financial literacy and really empowering young people to take that step and build their first business before they buy their house? Maybe they could get a 500 grand exit and buy their house outright. You know, you never know. So they're the sort of things that were running through my mind. And I thought we probably don't think about this as business owners enough. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think for me, my brain's gone to a bit of a weird point here, and let me elaborate. I think it opens up judgment to be able to do something like that. So in just a few little searches, you know, I've had a look and gone, well, who gives a crap raised $41.5 million a couple of years ago in a cap raise?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. So what did that $41.5 million get used for? And again, just this might not a judgmental thing, but it's the way the brain works. And the general public are going to go, well, hang on a minute. Like, I'm buying this toilet paper and money is meant to be going to charity, but they've raised $41.5 million. And as long as the thought process is that that is then helping them reach more homes, get their toilet paper out there, so then there will be more money that goes towards this charity if that is what the whole purpose of it is for. And yes, there's an element that's about profit, but also there's an element of having enough profit to give half of it to a, you know, to charity. And then it talks about in 1 year, they had a great year and they had a 750% boost in profit and donated, you know, nearly 6 million back in 2020. The following year, they had a bad year and they only donated 2.5 million. So business retracted, COVID, you know, those kind of, that is business. So it's very much, even though they're not a publicly traded and their financials aren't publicly available, if they then go and talk about what donation they made to be transparent to the public, essentially then it opens up the thoughts of, well, what's going on, you know, with that. They've got some great investors though. I think Cannon Brooks got involved. So, you know, he's often quite big in venture cap, you know, backing things that, especially in the Australian startup scene, I think he's got a deep care of trying to do better in Australia. So it's interesting to go, where do you go with that? And I think of some other ones then, have you guys heard of 1% for the Planet?
No, I haven't.
No, so Carly, who's a friend of the show, Carly runs a business called Code Accounts and she's over in Perth. She's has a deep love of the planet. She loves diving, you know, loves the ocean. And she's aligned her business model with an organization called 1% for the Planet. And it means that 1% of everything that goes through her organization, she will donate to 1% for the Planet, which then goes on to, you know, the things that they support. So Patagonia is an example of a business who's on 1% for the Planet, you know, as a, probably the biggest, you know, most well-known brand. They're involved in that. And I think they've donated more than 800 million in certified giving over the years. So all of a sudden, you know, it's a pretty impactful thing if you've got 1% of, you know, of a particular, whether it's revenue or profits, depending on how the model works or from your side. But that's huge. 800 million from a lot of businesses doing it. There's some big impact that can be had there.
But that's goodwill, isn't it? Like, that's goodwill that she's doing that, which is tremendous. I have no, yeah, I think that's wonderful she does that. But can the mission drive the profit? Is that okay? I know you say it's judgmental, but I love the fact that everyone that makes a purchase actually incentivizes that benefit to the mission, because that's building up your pipeline from a commercial perspective. There's something unique about that sits better. Just for me as a business 100%. Person, right?
The world needs more people trying to do good things, and, you know, building toilets, improving sanitation in the developing world. I mean, that is impactful and meaningful. So, I think they're doing a great job. I think it's just the business brain goes, you know, how much do you do, how much do you show, and how much of an impact does that have on people's decision making? Like, if I'm in Lamana in South Yarra, has the Who Gives a Crap toilet rolls for sale on the shelf there. You know, how many people are picking them up and going, yep, I'm going to buy this because of the impact that it's having versus clever branding or nice marketing or a nice product. Like, I think you've still got to have the fundamentals right. The toilet paper has to feel good and be as good as the one that you usually use as well, because if it's crap, then...
Well, good people like my wife buy that type of toilet paper for both, I would suggest, and I've had no complaints so far. But
good to know.
But I just like to think about, you know, the youth coming through, whether that is a driver. Like, they want to be a part of a meaningful business, and maybe it's a slant that if young entrepreneurs are thinking about that, it could be mission led, but still be very commercial. And I think this could be the changing of face of business, and it could be a really lovely entry point for people to utilize that and build awareness around what they're doing, rather than it being reverse, that we've done well, now we're going to donate. no, this is what we're doing, and it's in direct alignment with the product they're selling or the service they're delivering. And I, like I said, even, you know, futurepreneurs, I was thinking, not so to do this, Jace, by any stretch, but I'm just thinking what I went through with What Works. I think about some of the lessons, and the first thing they said, you know, the first thing you need to do is prove that you can, the market's going to buy what you want. So I've met so many people over the journey that think they have a great idea that nobody wants, you know, and they're going, the execution is actual sales. So instead of beautifying your business, go and get sales, you know, make sure it's viable, and then beautify in regards to as the profits come in and the revenues come in. And so many people come unstuck on that one basic fundamental where they make the business look so good, but there's no revenues coming in. And they said, and the one thing I always remember, they go, like a lot of people that invest in these IPOs, they talk about pre-revenue. And they said, never think like that. Think about revenue. Think about adding value to the market. Think about the market giving you that feedback of value. And that will be, you know, showcased in regards to the return you're getting and the sales you're making. Pre-revenue is a very dangerous game in small business if you're thinking that way, because you're doing everything else other than actually doing the thing that gives oxygen to the business so you can breathe and then mold your empire as you go. But even that one lesson, I never forgot it. And people laugh at me because I always go, all right, just make sure that what we're doing is valuable to the client and that we can at least have 20% profit margin on the back end of it. Let's manipulate, work it, whatever the case may be. We need to make sure that sales, we're adding, meeting expectation, exceeding expectation of the client, they're buying, we get proof of concept, and we're actually keeping some of the money. So very, very basic stuff, but invaluable to me. And I've held the, like, even though it's adapted, but I've held on to a lot of those learnings from the early days.
Can I just, could we just dig into the numbers? And I know the numbers might be high level because they're not available, but yeah, have I got this right in saying they turned over 70 mil?
Yeah.
And they gave 5 mil away?
Yeah.
Which is 50% of the net profit?
Yeah. So they'd be at around 11. I think they're about 5.8, so 11.6, okay. Which 11.6 is still not a high profitability margin.
No, it's not. And look, mate, I don't know what the norm is for that type of product. So Jace, you're saying they raised 41 million through a cap raise.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think, I'm just asking, and again, this is the judgmental piece, but I think it's not even being judgmental because at the end of the day, they gave away 5 mil more than what Innovate did. So I don't think you can judge. I think it's awesome what they're doing, and 5 mil more than probably the business next door. But do you think this is a social kind of awareness or philanthropy play, or do you think this is a smart entrepreneur going, how am I going to build a business?
Combination of all of it, I reckon. I think you've, to actually make that a reality, you have to care and you have to want to do it because there's so many moving parts that could end up with it falling over. To then go down the path of being B Corp certified, you are opening up your books to them to certify. So there's a level of transparency there as a private company. But at the end of the day as well, I mean, you know, if you bootstrap it from the start, they talk about taking on debt to build working capital to be able to then get the stock that they need. Remembering as well that I'm pretty sure early on they were ultimately subscription and online only. I don't think they were in stores in the early days. So you had to also change people's mindset from very much an example of be Case and I will get down to the last roll and go, oh shit, we've got to buy toilet paper. And it'll be because we're thinking of it the last minute, we're duck into Woolies, grab our favorite roles, whatever. And at the moment, you know, that's the revolving cycle as opposed to that change manager of actually going, you know what if I just click the subscribe button and every 1.5 months, a box of who gives a crap would land at the front door down there and it'd sit there and I could grab it on my way in. And one less thing that I have to do as a busy professional is to worry about buying toilet paper. Mm-hmm. So They tried to change that model, which meant investment, getting the online store set up, getting distribution, warehousing, all the rest. So I'm sure they personally, the founders, copped a lot of costs. Then raising, I guess they, a part of that raise was then expanding into the US, UK, New Zealand, so on and so forth. So I guess those, but at the same time, I'm sure the founders probably got a, you know, a good payday as well. They've built an epic company, and so they should. But I think it is then when you tie into the profit, half of profits being donated to charity, there is that, not a stigma. There's something there that just makes you go a bit like, oh, like, you know, what is it really? Do they really care about that, or was it something else? And I think it can be both.
I kind of like it because yeah. It's not like everything else. And I don't know whether I'd buy it on subscription either. I think it's one of those things that you just duck down and you grab, yeah, grab a bum. Okay, you're better planned. You've got better planning than me on that.
I just saw the time of recording now. It's around Halloween, so they've got the spooky edition, and the toilet rolls are wrapped in like you know a black cat and you know ghoulie zombies and stuff. So you know a bit of fun for your Halloween themed toilet, Marty.
But I just like, again, something so boring like toilet paper could be recreated into something that actually adds a benefit, you know, socially and to community, but also, you know, embraces that still that capitalism of wanting to build a profitable, you know, really strong business. So to me, that was the attraction when I read into it a bit more. And I just feel like younger people are certainly, people I talk to, are very mission-led, more so than in our generation. And I quite like that, but I don't want them to be mission-led at the expense of running a poor business, right? So that to me is those two principles coming together could just produce some, you know, really good opportunities in any type of boring market or exciting market.
Well, I think as well, you know, to use an example from the accounting side, there was a firm up in Brisbane, going to cook their name. I think it was Inspire CA, and they became part of an organization called Buy One, Give One, or B1G1, and it's Business for Good. And essentially, rather than it being about money, like being about how much money, so let's say right now we're talking about, you know, who gives a crap, did 5 million, but they had 70 million turnover, and then your brain starts cogging. This is more, for every tax return, we will donate drinking water for a year to a child. And all of a sudden it's about the impact. So to make sure, you know, a child in a third world area can have drinking water for a year, it might cost $5. But if you tie it to the impact to say, we did 1,000 tax returns this year, which meant that we provided drinking water to 1,000 people for a year, impact has a big, big kind of part of, you know, the way our brains work, to go, oh, wow, 1,000 people got drinking water because you did 1,000 tax returns. That's cool. So that is an example of a business where if you are thinking, you know what, you know, this is stirring a thought in me, I wouldn't mind doing something for good that doesn't necessarily strip me of half my profits. Business is tough enough as it is, but maybe I would like to have an impact where it might be drinking water. And then you can choose, like, the size of the impacts obviously have a different cost on this particular platform, and you pay a membership to the platform, which means that 100% of every donation flows through to the end user of the charity, and the organization who runs it, they make their money off the annual subscription for managing the relationships and having the charity partners on board and the businesses on board. The example then where it goes up a little bit more might be, you know, Greg loves running. So to be every time somebody books a consult with Greg, we could donate a pair of shoes to someone who doesn't have shoes. And that's you know, just ties in. So yeah, I mean, look, it's something I've had in the back burner of my mind for a long time. So Marty, this is a perfect opportunity to revisit how we can run a business and have impact, you know, run a business for good and make some good impact.
And again, I think, Jay, sometimes, you know, businesses do good things without building awareness around it just for the sake of doing good things. Like I know, for instance, Innovate does, you know, financial well-being seminars to partners and, you know, people to attend that. And I go, that's not marketed, but that's just, you know, supporting people on their career journeys to, you know, make better financial decisions. So, you know, stuff like that is, yeah, it's not it's not widely marketed just purely for the case of it's something great that we can do for partners, but there's still a tangible, you know, business benefit in doing that type of stuff, building depth in relationships as well. So it's, you know, businesses do it, but I guess it's just about, like you're saying, Jace, is how are we thinking about this as a, you know, as a mission-led where everyone's involved to be, you know, create a better future and build a bigger business through that future as well, and everyone continues to win. Not saying it's 100% right, but I like the angle of it because it's unique and it's not one way or the other. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I like it too. I think, you know, most business owners would love to do more good in the world, but it's about making it simple. Making it something that is rinse and repeat and doable, rather than if you constantly have to stop and think, oh, what's the next thing we should do? What's the next charity day we should have? What's the next way we can impact? I think that puts a barrier in the way. Like, you know, we've in the past had a bike building charity day where we build bikes and give it to children who, you know, can't afford a bike, or families that can't afford a bike at that time. And it was great from a team building experience, awesome. From the way we spent our money and our team's time and the way we got together, awesome experience. But then you go back to work the next week and it might be a month, 3 months, 6 months before you think of the next thing that you could do as a team. So
yeah,
I think anytime you are going to do something like that, it's great to kind of have a way you can build in a process around it and something that is deliberate and considered as a firm or a business, something you care about, something you can put your name to, and then make that something regular and recurring that brings a cultural impact, ties in with your values. And then, you know, again, not everything is about the outside world perception. Sometimes it's about the inside world of your firm as well, what it does for your culture and the team.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's all I had, boys. But I just, I just want to bring something a bit unique, but definitely on the liquid death theme. But I feel like this had a bit more, depth to it.
No, very good, Martin. Look, I think as someone who sees the Who Gives a Crap tour that rolls every day, you've definitely got my mind ticking. And now even thinking about 1% for the planet, buy one, give one, or business for good, you've just relit a bit of the flame of, oh, I think there's more that we can do out there. And excited to go and revisit. Appreciate you sharing that, Marty. If you've listened and enjoyed, please like, subscribe, give us a follow or a subscribe on YouTube. I should get all my terminology right. Been an absolute pleasure having you join us again. And until next time.
It's very rare that your bum can be a hero. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.